Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 195, ever so closer to 200. And I am with Jonathan Fast and special guest Cassandra Forsythe. John, I don't care how you're doing. Cass, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great being a mommy, hanging out, you know. Mommy life is pretty cool. Yeah, there's a laugh from the kiddo, too. She wants to be on the FitCast.
Yeah, I think that's the youngest guest we've ever had.
Yeah, 6 months, hey?
Wow.
She's still more mature than you, Caribby.
Kevin Meyer. Caribby?
I called you Caribby. I deem you a new name, Caribby.
No, dude, it's either Larrabee or Kevlar. Kevlar's high. Chris
Kevlar's good, yeah, but I like Caribby. I'm Facebooking that.
Did you just use Facebook as a verb?
You're damn right I did.
Wow.
Wow, you sound like my mom.
Your mom? Isn't it crazy that your parents talk to you about Facebook? You're like, yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing. They had we were just talking on the off top about Saturday Night Live, and they had one of those fake advertisements on like the anti-mom filter on Facebook. Like you can buy it for $4, and it will change all your pictures from like you drinking beer, like or you being like completely naked to mom-friendly pictures. It was quite hilarious. I guess you had to watch it. I recommend that you do on Hulu if you're in the States.
Okay.
Check it out.
A little scary.
I'm just saying. We have a great show lined up for you this week. We are going into the mailbag. We have a ton of questions that we get to catch up on. And you know what? We might go in a bunch of different directions, especially because we have Cass here, who's always great to talk to. And maybe we'll talk about some more specific stuff when we get to that, but we want to quickly mention one thing, and that is that John and Cass, you guys kind of have an announcement to make. So
we kind of do.
We're getting married, and my new name is going to be Cass Fass. Cass Fass, isn't that the coolest last name? That's the coolest name.
I mean, you know what? When the universe points you in that direction, you just got to go with it. Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, well, he can have the baby. I'm taking up Jonathan up in worldly adventures.
Wow. Giving up the child for me. No, we're actually, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit. Like, I know Cass blogged about it like 2 years ago, but we have finally started our book together. Uh-huh. Dun, dun, dun. So really excited about it. Well, we're not going to tell you.
Okay.
because honestly,
it has to do
like,
with exercise and nutrition. That's the
exactly.
First.
It's exercise and nutrition, but it's honestly like there's a focus of the book and kind of like a target audience, but I think that we're also realizing we're in the very early stages. We're planning, you know, the programs and we're getting things together. But and right now we've got, you know, some of our clients just kind of like pre-beta testing some of the stuff that we're doing. And I think what's really exciting about it though is that I think in the beginning, because of the kind of focus of the book, there was going to be, you know, maybe there'll be some compromises, maybe there'll be some types of things that we have to leave out of these programs. And what we're finding is that not only is that not the case, but these programs are like, these are really good. Like we're getting incredible feedback already, and it's really exciting. So I think
Jonathan,
we both have some really high
himself. Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, like I feel like a jerk, but it's like, these are awesome. Like it's really exciting what's coming out of it. And we're definitely focused on like evidence and what the evidence is telling us to do. And we're putting that together for the focus of the book. And I think what's exciting is that, you know, in the beginning we thought, all right, it'll be like this kind of niche group of people that we're looking at. But now I think we're also realizing that, you know what? Everybody could benefit from this stuff. I mean, these are really cool programs. So it's exciting. So we're really excited about doing this and really hope for some good things. And I think
that excited, John?
I am. So, but here's why we're making the announcement too, because we're not going to be done with this for like a couple months at least. But what we wanted to do is start the ball rolling because we will be beta testing these programs and nutrition and all this stuff. So if you're not on either of our Facebooks, go friend request us, because that's where we're going to get our population group to survey. So we'll probably, you know, maybe within like a month or so start the beta testing. We'll have some questionnaires to try to help us to put things together. So if you're not on the Facebooks, please friend request us. Mine is John.Fass, you know, Facebook. And Cass, what's yours? Cass? Like Cassandra Forsyth?
Cassandra Forsyth Probanic.
There you go. Easy breezy.
My other boyfriend's last name. But it should be Cassandra Forsyth Fass Probanic.
Right. So, you know, get on our Facebooks and then hang tight. And we're going to send out a bunch of stuff about this and really get moving on. And I think it's really going to be awesome. So very exciting. I'm glad that we're finally getting to do it. You know, we've been so busy, both of us, doing all kinds of, you know, PhDs and grad schools and RD
having
and residency
babies.
And all that, having babies and none that I know of. But you know, so we're finally just kind of sat down. We're like, dude, let's do this. So it's awesome. We're doing our research now.
Gets to experience Jonathan Fass programming, the whole world, because he's pretty cool. He's special, guys, everybody. He is very special.
That's what my mom tells me. But you know what? Like, but see, and that's what's cool about it too. Like, because on the other hand, like, these are programs. Like, I mean, there's similarities to things that I've written before, but really not. Like, this is stuff that I've never even written before. And
it took a tab of acid and just started writing,
dude.
Wow.
But no, I mean, I think like I don't know. Like, to me, like, I honestly, like, I'm not even trying to like blow and gas myself up and cast up and whatever, but honestly, like, this book I think can really be a game changer. Like, I really do. Like, very excited about it. So I think it's gonna be cool.
Game changer. Good.
It's gonna be like Dan Brown type sales when it comes out.
Dude, gonna be a game changer. But it really will. Like, I think, because that's the early feedback too, is like, yeah, I've never done workouts like this before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just pretty cool. And these are my own clients. These are people that I've been working with for years. So I think it's cool.
We look forward to it. So we should expect some more news in a couple months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once we get closer to like finishing the book and all
that
kind of stuff.
Is this going to be like a Barnes & Noble book, or is this going to be like an online book kind of thing?
I'm not sure that we're not 100% yet, but I think we're going to look basically at the finished product and see what happens. And then, of course, also to see like what interest there is in like, you know, major publisher picking it up. But we're not 100% sure yet, but we'll see closer.
No, something very cool is that you can even, you know, for relatively cheaply, you can print it yourself now, which is amazing.
Right.
It just shows you how far we've come.
Yeah. I mean, each one, you know, each type, you know, if it's online, if it's an ebook, if it's a Barnes & Noble book, if it's a self-printed book, each one has advantages and disadvantages. So as we get the book together more and you know, right now we have like a skeleton of what it's going to be. And, you know, I have like a ton of notes here. But, you know, once we actually start writing it together and putting things together, we'll have a better concept of where this would fit, you know. But
cool.
Yeah.
And also on the front of talking about stuff, just want to quickly thank everyone that came and checked out bodybyboyonline.com. We had a great first week, and again, you know, just thanks to everyone. If you haven't checked it out, definitely think it. Obviously, I'm super biased, but I think it's worth checking out. It is that big project that I've been working on for the last 6 months or so. And the feedback that we've gotten so far has been quite flattering and outstanding. It's been really interesting to see people look at the content after you've created it and then send you feedback on it. So if you want, check it out. It's, again, bodybyboyonline.com, all one word. And there's a lot more info there. We talked about a little bit with Mike last week. So, you know, hopefully you've checked it out. And one thing that we're going to be talking about in the next 2 weeks or so is doing an online conference or an online presentation for all of our members on how to actually utilize the software to increase your revenue quite a bit, whether it be with online training or just systemizing the way you do things if you're a trainer or if you're a coach. So definitely hope you check it out. We actually do have some athletes that are some just, you know, weekend warriors that have checked it out and grabbing it just for the programs themselves and the videos and stuff. And just again, you know, check it out. Let me know if you have any questions. I'll be happy to answer them. But we talked about it quite a bit, and people know I've been Twittering and Facebooking constantly the last week or so. So I'm going to stop doing that. So let's do we have anything else that's really
no.
Do we have an idea what we're going to do for episode 200 yet?
Probably talk a lot.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we want to do that thing that writer said in? Because we're going to have to start doing that now.
Yeah, we could.
Should we announce it?
Sure, because I don't remember what it was.
Okay. For reals, this is what we're going to do. One of the segments of episode 200 is going to be it's going to involve you guys, the listeners. So what I want you to do is send in – I guess we wanted to do like your favorite moments or things you remember the most when it comes to like John breathing into his mic heavily. Like,
Yeah. I love doing that.
Like your favorite whether it be your favorite moments or favorite answers or
– or even your favorite Larrabee fail.
Yeah, whatever. It's 200 episodes. We've been doing this for over 4 years. We're going to have a little bit of fun, and we want you guys to have your voice heard. So we want to do this with voice only. So the best way to do that is going to be to email an MP3 of yourself, like get some recording software and email an MP3 of yourself to questions@theficast.com or kevin@theficast.com and just put in episode 200 into the subject line, or you can call 978-633-3488 and leave a message on there. And what I'll do is I'll record those off of there, and then we'll put them into the podcast itself. We're still going to try to line up some big guests for that. If you guys have any suggestions for who you want for episode 200, let me know. But I think we're gonna kind of see how things fall together. So that's it. You guys want to do mailbag? We'll come right. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back with the mailbag. Just so you can hear some awesome music from our listeners. Actually, you know what? I will quickly mention that. I'll make sure to mention who sings all this music this week, so we give them awesome credit. Mailbag discussion for this week, and John, I'm going to throw the first question your way, and we'll see where it goes.
Are you reading it?
This is from Laurel. I have done a search on here, Men's Health and T-Nation, for articles on delayed onset muscle soreness and can't find much of anything, only in forums on T-Nation. Is there research on it? What causes it? I can't seem to predict from the intensity of the workout whether it will occur or how bad it will be. I've heard it comes from little used muscles being worked for the first time, but I haven't found that to be true. My only theory is that exercises that stretch and contract a muscle seem to cause it the most. For example, chin-ups. Since your weight stretches the muscles when you are hanging, more volume or intensity alone doesn't always cause it. Thanks for answering my last question. You guys are always entertaining and informative.
Well, there's actually, a pretty sizable amount of research on delayed onset muscle soreness because it's such, it happens to everybody. And it's also, when you look at athletic sports participation, it can really affect someone's ability to play sports. So usually the most research goes into things like that because there's money behind it. So I do want to point out before we start getting into it, just where you can get information from, because things like Men's Health or T-Nation, that can be fine for articles, and articles are a good way, especially for someone that may not be as familiar with research, to get some basic information from. But on the other hand, it's also the lowest level of evidence that we will use in terms of actual evidence-based. And it's only an article that which would basically be considered an expert opinion is only legitimate if there's no established research on the topic beforehand. So if there's research on the topic and you're getting your information from someone's opinion, then you're not actually following what would be evidence. Now, something like this with delayed onset, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you could tell me it's little pink fairies in your muscles poking you with sticks. It doesn't really matter in terms of like real world, what are you going to do? But it's just something to point out. So there are definitely ways that you can get your information besides T-Nation and Men's Health, and that's really even just putting it in a Google search of, you know, delayed onset muscle soreness. So what it is, what they believe it is it's a different type of soreness than what you get immediately during your workouts. This really has to do with muscle damage, and there is damage that occurs when you exercise strenuously. It's how the body rebuilds itself. You basically break down a certain amount of muscle tissue at the microscopic level, and then when the body corrects that breakdown, when it heals itself, it heals stronger. It creates more muscle, basically, so that next time you work out, there's not as much damage. So what you're feeling is that type of, you know, very microscopic tearing of muscle. You know, don't think it's like, you know, like a knife cut type of tear, but it's just, you know, small amount of damage. And then it's also probably inflammation that occurs from that damage, and inflammation is the body's response to any type of damage that you would have. So it's just like swelling. If you get, you know, hit in the arm and a bruise and you're swelling, that happens to the muscle too. So that causes pressure, and that pressure ignites the nerve endings as well as certain types of, you know, chemical responses, cytokines and things like that. So you have this kind of pain going on, and after, you know, 2 or 3 days, it'll probably go away. They believe what causes it, you're kind of right, it's the eccentric motion. So it's the lowering of the weight. It's not bringing the weight in, it's lowering the weight down. They think that that causes more delayed onset muscle soreness than the concentric motion would. So you're kind of right, like in a chin up, when you're stretching, when you're hanging there, that would be end of eccentric. But I do also want to point out that hanging at the end range is probably not good for you. So because now you're really taking the muscle in the one of its weakest positions, and you've got all of your weight being trying to be negotiated by the muscle that's weakest. So you should use a full range, but you should not bring it to the very, very end of your range of motion, to the point where you're basically hanging off of your ligaments and joints. So I just want to throw that out there if you're doing that. But otherwise, that's basically what it is. The best way to deal with delayed onset muscle soreness that we know of is active recovery. So if you did, you know, if you did a leg day and your legs are killing you, then the next day you can do a you know, walking to a light jog. You can do some light versions of, you know, the exercises that you did the day before. So if you squatted heavy, then you could do some body weight squats, and you're basically trying to get blood flow so that it'll heal a little bit more quickly. There's some evidence for things like contrast baths and, you know, cold cryotherapy stuff, but the best stuff that we have is an active recovery.
There's also some nutritional strategies that help with delayed onset muscle soreness.
Drop it.
Okay. Oh my God. Branched chain amino acids before exercise help delayed onset muscle soreness. Not delay, but reduce the soreness of it. So taking about, I guess what is about 3 grams total branched chain amino acids. And usually they're all in the ratios of isoleucine, leucine, valine to what you need. Before you do exercise. So within about 30 minutes, there's research showing you can do PubMed searches, several of them showing that it reduces the soreness 2 and 3 days later. And the reason being is that, as Jonathan explained, the delayed onset muscle soreness comes when during eccentric exercise, because that's the stretching of the actin and myosin cross bridges. Like, it sort of stretches them beyond their limits, little like anchors in your muscle that allow you to contract and elongate your muscle. And it's damage to those, which is part of the fiber. But anyway, regardless, the branched chain amino acids come in and help sort of like put the little building blocks back in to repair them. Also, the branched-chain amino acids help with inflammation because part of the whole delayed onset muscle soreness, you know, syndrome is inflammation, increased levels of different types of inflammatory markers in the body. So, about 3 grams of branched-chain amino acids, about a half hour before you work out. Or if you don't want to just take branched-chains, you don't feel like buying them, whey protein has enough branched-chains in them to, you know, do it. So, you know, 30 minutes. If you don't want to do 30 minutes, you can do an hour. But, you know, the closer to exercise you take protein, the more protein synthesis you have. And being in a negative protein balance is also part of the whole delayed onset muscle soreness phenomenon. So if you're taking, you know, if you have protein doses closer to your workout period, it doesn't have to be in the workout, but at least, you know, like half hour before, half hour after, or even immediately after, it will keep you in positive protein balance, which will also reduce some of the soreness that you experience. And then again, on the inflammatory side of things, you can take certain anti-inflammatory herbals, things like curcumin, turmeric, you know, those, the curry spices, the what's another one? Resveratrol helps a little bit as well. So that's part of it. Some of the anti-inflammatories are a little bit slightly useful as well. So I'm actually looking at a study right now, a 2010 June branched-chain amino acids and DOME study, and they showed that soreness and stiffness is lower after branched-chain amino acids than no branched-chain, after just taking something like carbs. So if you're trying to give yourself energy before your workout, don't just eat like crackers or raisins or whatever, or drink dextrose, take some protein. Dun, 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 dun.
And then the other aspect too, and there are things like massage and stretching, which used to be looked at to reduce soreness, and there's not great evidence for either. There's better evidence actually for massage, but it's still kind of up in the air. But anecdotally, people enjoy it, so it probably won't hurt. Same thing with stretching. They've actually found that it really doesn't affect post-soreness at all, but it does seem, you know, acutely, you know, quickly it feels pretty good, and then it just doesn't change any of the time that it takes to reduce the DOMS. But it's still, you know, they're not wrong, you're just not necessarily going to get the most bang for your buck with them, but can certainly be done.
Sweet
cool. So actually, you know what? What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to kind of throw a question that we had later in the into the outline, into the beginning, because I think it relates quite heavily. And Cass, I'm going to throw this at you just in regards to pre-workout nutrition. So we had two questions from two people who are they're kind of related, so I think this would be a good discussion. One's from Glenn, one's from Rob. First one from Glenn says, "Howdy guys, what's up? I'm looking to start making my own pre-workout drink to hopefully save a bit on the cost versus the pre-packaged options currently available. I'm trying to figure out what kind of supplements and ingredients I should think about including. I'm currently 28, 6'2", 206 pounds. I perform resistance training about 3 to 4 times per week, either weights or body weight. I am somewhat overweight. I think about 18 to 20% body fat."
Why are you laughing, Kevin?
Maybe in the background's making me laugh.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, Kevin, you bastard. What's
laughing at this guy?
No.
Yeah, 18%. Horrible. Oh, my God.
No, Glenn. The baby made a funny noise. any advice would be helpful, or any good pre-workout items available that are less expensive. And again, kind of we'll just put this together with Rob's question. It says, "Hey, fellas, I wanted to ask you all about what you do, what you recommend for pre- and post-workout nutrition. At 41, I have maintained decent health from my football playing days, but would like to lean out a bit more. I'm currently 6'2", 250, and would like to get down to around 230, 225. But I feel I need to tighten up my eating, especially before and after my workouts. Any recommendations would be greatly appreciated, and love what you guys are all doing with the FitCast." All right, so Cass, let's just have like a, you know, kind of a small discussion on pre- and post-workout nutrition and kind of where that's at right now.
Well, okay, pre-workout nutrition, the first thing is you have to eat within enough time before your workout so you have enough energy to work out hard. I see one of the biggest things I see people do wrong is they think, you know, if they eat a half hour before their workout, it's going to lower fat burning or something like that. But the key thing is if you start your workout kind of like with an empty tank or an almost empty tank, or your blood sugar's on the verge of dropping, you're not going to be able to kick your own butt in the gym and burn more calories and build more muscle. So you have to have adequate fuel in there. And adequate fuel is probably, or is for most people, like a combo of protein and carbs. Not too much carbs, though, because you don't want it to cause, you know, excessive amount of insulin release, which will dive your blood sugars down and make you feel like crap. And, you know, in terms of protein doses, it's not necessarily like an amount per body weight as much as it is, you know, the quality of the protein and the amount of branched chain amino acids are in there, because it's, well, especially the essential amino acids. Because say if you have something like hummus or something, hummus and carrots, sorry, that's such a girly food, but whatever, it's all I can think of. If you have that before your workout, you know, it doesn't contain as all the essential amino acids in the right balance for your muscles. So milk-based protein supplements like whey protein, or if you wanted casein, I know everyone calls it a slow protein, but still, whatever, you know, even if you drank milk before your workout with something that with some carbs, that will you know, deliver essential amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, valine, which are the stimulators of muscle protein synthesis, but also will keep your blood sugar levels regular. But again, every person is so different. Like if I drank milk before workout, I'd feel like crap and it doesn't work for me. But if someone else, you know, had yogurt and granola before the workout, that's fine for them. But bottom line is, start your workout with enough energy to make you feel good enough to work out. I know it seems so nonspecific, but it's not the little things that makes a difference. It's more of the global things, like eating enough so you have energy to work out. You can, if you want, you know, there's specialized protein drinks out there, and pre-workout, I would say keep your carbs and protein more in like a 1-to-1 ratio, or maybe even a little less carbs and protein. Like again, just to keep those blood sugar levels in check. My daughter wants pre-workout nutrition right now. You can hear her. She's like, hey, pay attention to me. So, you know, it's the blood sugar thing. It's, you don't want to dip below. If you're going to drink during your workout, like sip on something like dextrose and whey protein during your workout, that's cool. But if you're trying to drop body fat, maybe that's not necessarily the best option for you. But the bottom line is, eat so you can kick some butt. Okay, kid, you have to pay attention here. We're talking about pre-workout nutrition. It's very important.
So it seems like, you know, I think one of the big things that are going around the nets right now is intermittent fasting. A lot of the stuff that they say, you know, is to, again, I haven't read too much into it. I just kind of grabbed bits and pieces from it. But I was actually talking with someone that is doing it, and, you know, he, before he lifts, all he has is branched chain amino acids after being in a fasted state for like 12 hours. So that would not be something you agree with.
Well, actually, that would probably put him back in positive muscle protein balance, but it wouldn't necessarily. It would keep him in positive protein balance, because the research shows that if you take it right before, like branched chains right before, right after, and, you know, another hour after and another hour after, it's like frequent doses of protein keeps you in muscle protein balance. So that would put him back in positive. But if he's not having anything after, he'd go negative again and be really sore and just break down muscle protein and have a hard time recovering and never grow and and all that good stuff. So intermittent fasting, I don't know, like, I don't know why people want to do that, but that's just because I like to eat. So I don't know if that totally answers the question about pre-workout, but, you know, half hour before you work out, keeping it like a 1-to-1 of protein to carbs, or you can just do protein if you really want, if you don't want it, if the carbs, you're sensitive to them, you know, but make sure it has essential amino acids in it, especially the branched chains. And, you know, you can do a branched chain drink if you want or whatever. And then you don't have to drink during your workout or do anything during your workout unless you're really trying to grow. Like I remember back at UConn when Eric Cressy and I used to lift together at the gym at UConn, and he used to drink, you know, Surge, BioTest Surge, which was that 2-to-1 carb to protein drink during his workout, but he was trying to grow, and he doesn't really put on necessarily like tons of fat. He's kind of, you know, more the guy that needs to put on more muscle. But if you're someone that's trying to take off fat, I would recommend not to have that. And then after your workout, within 30 to 45 minutes, if you don't replenish essential amino acids and some of the carbs that you break down, you're just going to feel crappy after your workout and not have enough energy the next time you go to workout. So the whole thing is that you're trying to fuel and replenish so that every time you work out, you can work out really hard.
Cool.
Because that's what's going to make the big difference. Because if you go in the gym and you can barely do anything, and then you think you're eating all good and stuff, you're not burning those calories, you're not building that muscle, you're not you know, oxidizing fat.
Gotcha. Let's,
yeah, I mean, seriously, and I was just having this conversation with one of my friends too, and I mean, in my opinion, just anecdotally, but, you know, even a lousy workout can serve a purpose, but a lousy diet, man, you're just fighting an uphill battle. It really just, it's so vital to your goals, so it
Well,
really...
no, I think a lousy workout is horrible too, because what's the point? You know, you sit on your ass all day long, which most people do, right? And then you get in the gym and you can barely work out because you're so freaking hungry or you're tired or you're sore or whatever, like incredibly sore because you haven't recovered or you haven't done anything good. What the hell? You know, like, okay, maybe you moved a little, but...
But you know what, though? If you look at the data for minimal requirements for positive health, they're like nothing. It's nothing. I mean, if you're looking to be...
Health, that's health. Health is different than body comp. Health is different than muscle growth. Health
it is different. But that's not...
You know, our government says that, you know, 30 minutes of activity is enough every day. But actually, they started to increase it because they realized that that's really not enough because people don't do anything. But anyway...
Right, but that's what I'm saying is like the stimulus from exercise, you know, look, if you want to look like a cover model, then you're going to have to do a lot regardless. But I think that, you know... Doing basically nothing, you're still going to have a lot of positive results. But if you're eating like crap, good luck with that. You know what I mean?
That's not just body. I'm not saying the eating isn't important as well. But if you can't seriously kick your own ass when you work out in the gym, you know, when you should. Like, I mean, I know that everyone can't do that every day all the time. Like, you have to have deloading weeks and lower intensity days and stuff like that. But if your purpose is to go in there and actually make a difference, if you're not fueling it properly, you're going to, don't bother almost.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but your workout is part of it as well. And some people, they just worry about this, you know, the pre and the post, and, you know, they think that's most important. But no, it's also important what you're doing the rest of the day. Because if the rest of the day you're like, oh, I'm just going to eat this donut because someone brought it for me, or, you know, I'm not going to eat because I'm going to try to lose more fat. It's futile. And okay, maybe intermittent fasting isn't so bad. And I can't really say, I can't do it because I have to eat. but I'm sure
Mrs. Fast, we're like, saying the same thing.
Yes. No, yes. You said that the workout
was not the most important thing.
I hope this is how the book's written.
Yeah, seriously, right?
I want the audio version. I can't read.
Dope.
I'm just saying that your food fuels a good workout. And if, you know, yes, even if you go in the gym and you have a bad workout, Jonathan's saying, oh, it still has health benefits. But if you're trying to actually make a difference in your body and cut body fat, which is what these guys are talking about, you know, like cutting down a bit, you have to put the intensity into that workout. The food can only do so much. You still need the workouts to augment that. And so your workouts need to be beneficial.
Cool.
We just said the same thing. We said the exact same thing.
Yeah, but we had to argue about
it,
though.
You guys are brother and sister.
Yeah. No. That'd be disgusting because we're getting married.
Oh, that's right.
Gross. Larrabee, that's gross.
Well, what about that?
No, but it actually does.
I saw that story on Yahoo News about that guy.
What guy?
I don't
this
know about
polygamist,
that.
Like in like Iowa or something like that, or Pennsylvania.
Idaho. It's got to be Idaho.
Why has it got to be Idaho?
There's nothing in Idaho. I bet we have like one listener in Idaho.
That's horrible. We just lost all of our Idahoan listeners.
I think you just lost it because you called them Idahoans.
Idaho, Utaho. All right.
Oh, that's a cool thing. Okay, go ahead.
Crap.
All right.
The show is going to get better, guys. We're just trying to get our footing back, and I'm still recovering from not sleeping for 2 months. So
this next question is for Kevin.
What's up?
In regards, In regards to training clients, I would like the group's opinion on dynamic mobility and its role in a proper warm-up. So it's really not for Kevin. It's for the group. Kevin.
Actually, he addressed it to me.
Is it possible? No, he said, hey, Kevin, because you're like the host kind of guy. Is it possible to do too much mobility work and lose focus on the goals of the client? Or is there a fine line that you can flirt with utilizing mobility as part of the resistance training protocol? I'm currently reading Mike Boyle's Advances in Functional Training, and he does cover the prospect of mobility becoming training. But I just wanted to hear everyone's two cents, especially yours, Kevin, due to your experience at CP. Thanks, Chris.
That's what's up. So here we go, Chris. I think this is a fantastic question, and I really
– it is a good question.
And I'm going to hit two different sides of this. First off, you mentioned, you know, can mobility and sometimes flexibility work kind of overtake the strength and conditioning portion of a session, depending on the client. And with my clients, sometimes, yeah, it does. Like I have one client who trains an hour and a half because we have to get in an extra half an hour of mobility work. It can't all be done with the strength training. Are you okay, John?
That's a lot. Half an hour mobility training.
Yeah.
Well, sounds stiff as a board.
I should actually also preface this by saying that she talks my ear off, and I am also part therapist when it comes to her. But I love her, and she still comes. So the one thing I want to say is that I think it was Nick Tuminello said this on like Twitter or Facebook, something like that. And he said, you know, you can't tell your client that first off, before you start training here, you're so out of shape, we're going to have to do a whole month of just mobility work and just, you know, just soft tissue work to get you to where you need to be to start actually doing some strength and conditioning or strength training. And I, you know, I thought that was a really great point. You know, some people out there are, you know, who are super corrective. I'm sure, like, if you bring in a new client and you take them through mobility work for an hour, they're not going to come back to you because they're going to feel like they're not doing anything. You know, they're definitely going to feel better. And that, I think that's one of the reasons why we are such proponents of foam rolling, is because immediately you're going to feel better the day after, whether it's doing a whole lot. I think down the next couple of years, the whole discussion, the, you know, the Thomas Myers side of things, when it comes to fascia and, you know, whether foam rolling is doing a lot for us because, and again, I'm going to quote someone here that I don't really remember who said it, but it was a football player who said, you know, foam rolling is kind of like crack. Once you do it, you feel really good, but once you stop doing it, you don't feel as great. But when you weren't doing it before, you didn't feel that bad because you're still doing, you know, your static stretching and your mobility work. But once you added in foam rolling, it's something you can never stop doing because you feel like there's an emptiness without it. Maybe not that dramatic, but you can see what I'm kind of saying there. So I think it does have some merit. And obviously we still do foam rolling. You just don't have to spend, you know, 10 minutes on it. But when it comes to optimizing that 1 hour that you have with that client or with that athlete, probably no more than 15 minutes should be spent, including the foam rolling, any kind of stretching and mobility work and prehab stuff. Make sure that your client is never standing around because there shouldn't be a moment where – and I know some clients like to say, you know, did you watch American Idol on Monday or whatever like that, you know, but – make sure you're using as much of that hour as you possibly can for their benefit. So if you do something like, you know, maybe you do some chin-ups and you superset it with walking lunges, and then they're kind of like huffing and puffing because that's a pretty hard superset. Maybe you have them do some kind of mobility work in there and make it a tricep. Make sure they're doing some recovery work. And I think that's why I love, you know, I totally got that from when I interned at Cressy. It's like that. That's something that he does with all of his athletes is he makes sure there's no downtime where you're just kind of chilling out and there's nothing to do. There's always something to do. If you're going to be doing some heavy squats and, you know, you're pretty beat after five reps, like you should be huffing and puffing if you're working up, you know, in that 85% range, you're going to probably only be able to do something like ankle mobility or maybe you'll do a quad hip flexor stretch or maybe you'll do some scap wall slides in between because you have all this time where you can do filler things like mobility work. And that's something he's always instilled in me. And I think that's something everyone should make sure they're doing with their clients or with their athletes. Make sure you're filling up that, if you think about that hour's worth of time as like a glass, make sure you're filling it up all the way to the top. Make sure they're getting as much as they can out of that hour, because trust me, in the long run, it's going to help you out quite a bit in terms of what you're going to be able to do with them. You're going to see results quicker, and they're going to feel a lot better at the same time. So I also wanted to address, let's see. So anyways, losing focus on the goals. Now, I don't think you can – I think you can get in a ton of mobility work in that one-hour session. You just need to know where to put it, and you got to make sure you fill up any holes with extra mobility work. If you have someone that you know has like zero hip internal rotation, make sure you have them do a knee-to-knee stretch in between sets, because you know that's something they need to work on, and it's an underlying issue that's causing them – it could be causing them hip pain or hip flexor pain, or if they have any kind of scapular stability issues. You can also make sure they're doing like some hand switch movements where they're focusing on scapular stability too. It's not something that's super draining that you can do in between exercises. But obviously, I know John's going to have his two cents too, so I tried to cover that as best I could.
No, I mean, I think you really nailed it, but I don't see the problem is that there's really – but, however, you know, there's really – like, I mean, I thought that was a great question too, because it really hasn't been answered. We don't really know what the best dose response of dynamic mobility is. And again, it also depends on the goal. Are you using it simply as a warm-up to prepare the body for what you're going to do, or are you actually addressing true mobility issues as like a almost like you know, a treatment?
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? That's because the only time when it really comes into play, when you have to address certain mobility issues and you have to add some extra stuff in. Because let's be honest, I've given my clients like printouts of exercises to do at home, and you know, just simple mobility stuff. I'm like, you're sitting at a desk for 10 hours today. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to get up. But here's two exercises. I want you to do 5 sets of 10 ankle mobility on each side. I want you to do 5 sets of 10 scap wall slides in your office. You have an office. No one's going to see you. Just do it. I don't care how you do it. Set a clock in your Outlook. Do whatever you got to do. And they still won't do it.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, it comes down to – right. So exactly. It depends on the client. I think that the question of can you do too much – I do think you can do too much if it's making the client tired before they start working out. The object of the dynamic warm-up is to get – the client should basically be more energized than they were when they started. So that's the first thing you have to do. You have to judge, you know, what's the effect on the client, on him, you know, him or herself. So if they feel better – and then you're probably in a good area. You could try to include one or two more if you think it's necessary and see how that affects them as well. But you're basically trying to energize them. If you're trying to truly improve mobility and flexibility, then as part of your overall, you know, flexibility programming, then you may start adding more things to it, like Kevin was saying, because you really have to do whatever it's going to take to get to achieve that mobility that you're looking for. So it is kind of a client by client basis. But unfortunately, I mean, I just can't find anything. And it's not surprising, because even the area of dynamic mobility is a pretty new area of research. It's a new topic, because even, you know, 5-10 years ago, they were still talking about, you know, just warm up with stretching. So we've only just started to understand that there are better ways to prepare someone for a sport or for an activity, and that seems to be dynamic mobility work and activation work to do that. So there really hasn't been enough research done to point to a volume dose kind of argument. So for now, it's really trial trial and seeing what happens and seeing what works best. But I think a good practical way to do it is kind of take your basics of what you would, you know, you do your initial eval, you evaluate what the client's needs are, start with the least amount that you think is necessary, and then build from there, because you can always scale back. But if you start with a ton and then they're getting tired, you're not really sure, you know, how much do you scale back, how much do you take away, what's working, what's not working. So just from a practical standpoint, I try to do the least amount possible and then see what those results are, because in my opinion, if I can do the least amount and get the best results, why am I doing more?
Well, I got to kind of disagree with you there a little bit.
Okay.
Just because when it comes to, again, it depends on the client, but when you mention, you know, you don't want that client to be too tired during the warm before you get into the exercise, you know, I think a lot of the times the warm up is the actual workout. For especially new and untrained individuals, when you have them doing things, it could be split squats. That could be part of the workout. Like, that could be tiring for them. So I think it, and sometimes that there is a little bit of a gray area where things kind of mix together, and you kind of have to, you know, admit that there's going to be some physical exertion being done in those warm-ups for untrained individuals. I mean, whether it's a body worker.
Well, I agree with that, but then the question is, what are you know, then you're kind of doing, I mean, there's mobility work in a heavy squat, but I'm not going to have someone heavy squat as their warm up. So you're not separating, you can't separate the mobility issue. I mean, there's research showing that weightlifting improves flexibility. So are you claiming that my weightlifting routine is their flexibility training? Well, of course, it's part of it. It has to be part of it. That's why all facets of the program are going to be important, and why you shouldn't, you know, like, too many trainers just sit there and like, oh, I'm just going to pick this exercise and that exercise, and they don't actually understand what the effects of that exercise will be on the individual. But if we're talking about creating the warm-up process, then you want the warm-up to achieve a certain effect, and then whatever you carry through to the workout is fine. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think, and especially, right, as a beginner, you can exhaust a beginner just on a you know, dynamic warm-up kind of process. But then the question becomes, do you want to do that, or is it important enough that you say the entire workout is going to be stuff that I just, you know, kind of mobility drills because it's killing you anyway and you need this stuff and we'll work on the strength later. I mean, that's legit too, but then the whole thing is just a kind of a warm up in some way. I mean, I think my point of view is more of the, you know, the middle ground where you've got, you know, a client that needs mobility work and they need strength training work, and they have enough work capacity that they can deal with that warm up and not have them tire out. I mean, if you're dealing with someone that gets tired off of a few, you know, Frankenstein walks, then you got a lot, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of work ahead of you.
So that's officially what they're being called now, huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, I guess.
Okay.
I don't disagree with you, though, Kevin. I know.
We can move on. We can talk about this later. Talk about how much I hate you, John.
That's true. Okay.
Damn. Oh, yeah. Wow. You almost swore. John, yeah. How much time you got?
Like, none. I gotta go.
All right. So
is there a quick question, or I gotta get out of here?
No, John, I'm gonna hang up on you. Cass, you wanna hang out for a couple minutes?
Love it.
I can hang out. Yep. I'm here.
All right, let me see. Actually, you know what? We only have like two more questions. No, we'll save those for next week. We still got a pretty solid hour podcast. So before we do go, John, I'm gonna hang up on you.
That's great.
So John,
but we love you, John.
Oh, he's gone. And so, Cass, I just want to now ask you for a second, you know,
yep.
Is there anything that people should keep a lookout for? I know you're back at the computer, you're writing. So is there anything the listeners should keep an eye out for, anything like that?
With me?
For you, yeah.
Well, I've decided to really just focus mostly on nutrition stuff on my blog, because I realize that, you know, when we, you know, being a specialist in something makes you better. And I was trying to, like, I don't know, maybe write about or be too much of an exercise specialist. And I think I can be good at that. But, you know, I went to school for 12 years for nutrition, so I might as well focus on that. So I wrote a good blog about emotional eating yesterday. I'm probably only going to be blogging like once a week, though, because with the kiddo and I'm running a business and we're redoing our kitchen, you know, once a week is about all I can expect out of myself.
Pretty busy.
Pretty busy. But and I'll still write about baby stuff, you know, mommy stuff, mommy brain, all that stuff to, you know, relate with all the women out there. Because it seems like everybody's having kids lately. Like everybody. Well, maybe not you, Kevin. But
I'm a little bit behind.
You're behind on all that.
I'm thinking about getting a dog, though, Cass.
Oh, my God. That's huge. What kind of dog?
We have to make sure that the launch of Body by Boy Online is pretty successful, so we can I can facilitate this. But I'm probably just going to be going to, there's a no kill shelter that my parents support quite heavily in the North Shore area, and they'll probably hook us up with a, they just got a bunch of puppies in, so
well, What do you think you want to get?
Like a lab mix, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, something that's not too loud, not too big. So.
Well, yeah, get a yep.
Like I'm jealous of like Craig Ballantyne's dog. You know,
what's he got?
He's got like a black lab, and that's what I have at like my parents have at home. So I'm kind of leaning in that direction. But I need a reason if this computer work is going to pile up. I need a reason to get out of my apartment.
Yes. Well, you know what? Sometimes you don't get out of your house when you have a dog because it just happens. People forget they actually have dogs. It's kind of sad.
Sad. Super sad. Oh, my God. I saw some – actually, we won't talk about this. But, you know, you always hear those stories of, like, overweight people. You know, this woman who brought her dog to, like, the grocery store and she was, like, so overweight. Just have one of those little poofy dogs in the front of the carriage and
oh god, not so cool. No.
Fuck your dog.
but I've got three dogs and they keep me on my toes. But I also have a kid.
Three dogs?
I have three. I have two labs and I have a little Yorkshire Terrier Chihuahua cross.
Did you just get another dog recently? I know you had two dogs.
No, I've had three for the past 3 years.
That's awesome.
I know. I'm such a family person. I have dogs and a baby, and we even have a plant.
have a plant yet.
Maybe you should start with a plant.
I know. I mean, I don't want to – no, but I think, you know, I definitely – it's something that I'm interested in. You know, I think, you know, if you can save an animal and you enjoy – like I enjoy dogs, and I think you should really try to do it, so
– Yes, you have to do it. Eric's looking at getting a dog too. You know what? I think all the listeners –
He's trying.
He's trying to get Anna away from I don't know. They're arguing.
Well, he said he was going to look at a breeder or something like that. He says he knows a breed. There's a specific dog that he wanted to get. I can't remember though.
He wanted a type of a pug dog.
Oh yes, that's right.
Some sort of pug thing. But I think all the listeners should give Kevin some ideas about awesome dogs. And yes, I know labs are awesome. One thing I will warn you about with labs, and you probably know this since your parents have one, is the dog hair. Like
all over the place.
Oh my god, I clean up dog hair all day long, and it's not like I don't have diapers to clean up, right, April? Yeah. Yeah, she likes the dogs. Yeah, so I clean up dog hair all day long. And that's like my second job, I think, is to clean up dog hair. No, probably fifth job because I've got like a million other. So, but listeners, you know, maybe if you can tell him a good lab mix. But you know what? You might find a mutt. We found like a lab kind of mutt that's like maybe like 40, 50 pounds instead of like 60, 70. That sounds like that's a good size. Yeah, that's a good size.
That's awesome that the your daughter gets well so long with the dogs. That's fantastic.
Oh, she loves them. When she sees them, she's like, oh my god, it's the dogs! Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah. Life is fun when you have a kid too. You can have a kid next, but you have to get married first. Okay.
Oh, is that the rule? Well, you know, it is 2010.
What, that's the new thing, to get married and then have kids, or what?
Oh, well, you can just like adopt, you know, you can always do that. I don't want to adopt though. I don't know. I'm gonna try to
April says you shouldn't adopt, you should make your own babies.
I'm gonna try to so we'll
okay, wrap that up right there.
We'll wrap up the show right there. All right guys, we will see you all next week. Hopefully we're gonna have another guest for you next week, so keep an eye out on the Facebook and the Twitter, and I'll make sure to make an announcement of that. Or you can also follow us on subscribe to our newsletter at thefitcast.com. Subscribe through iTunes, and you know, if you want to help, every little bit helps to me getting a dog. If you want to go subscribe at Body by Boyle online, and you know, help improve your business and make a little extra cash when we have the presentation on how to do online training and stuff like that with the software. I think you guys will really dig it. So that's it. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening. Off-topic discussion. It is Kevin Larrabee and Jonathan Fass here with you.
We're back. It is.
I haven't talked to you in like a month, John.
Nah, like what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You were busy. You were a busy bee.
Yeah, Lee is not here. She is working today, so she's not able to join us. But we tried to scramble and get someone else, but we couldn't. Man, she stays up late. She sent that email out at 4 a.m.
Oof.
I don't know how her sleeping patterns are all over the place.
Yeah, that's late.
So we're going to do off topic. John, what do you want to talk about?
Yankees won.
So I bought tickets for Back to the Future.
To the Yankees game? Oh my God, that is awesome.
No one watches baseball, John.
Oh, no one watches Boston baseball, but they don't Yeah, that's pretty good, huh? You know, it's funny, in my new adopted land, people are like, oh, where are you from? And, you know, like New York, New Jersey. I'm like, oh, you don't really have an accent. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? If you ask me to say something specific, you're going to hear it.
Well, all I can say is New York Knicks suck, Jets suck, Giants suck.
Jets don't suck too bad. The Knicks definitely suck, and the Giants pretty much suck. Actually, I'm a Giants fan, so I don't really care about the Jets, but I mean, I'm happy if they do well because I'm not a hater, but I'm not really that interested. I kind of like it when they beat the Patriots, though.
A good friend once said, we be rolling, they be hating, and they be trying to catch us riding dirty. I don't know if you've heard that one, but I think it was a poem.
I think so, too. It sounds definitely poetic.
And it goes, you know, riding dirty, riding dirty.
It's amazing how let's let the audience in on a little fun backstage secret. Every week, I think we talk about the fact that we really need to script and outline our off topic, and every week we never do it.
Whatever, who cares? I think only I think 20% of our listeners actually listen to this.
They're a vocal 20%, though. I'll tell you that.
Well, they're the hardcore. They're the people that tune in every week, and that's why they're awesome. But the did you happen to see what Lee got in the mail on Facebook?
No, I did not happen to see that. Is it on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm gonna
send in her pictures.
I'm gonna send you a link. She got a. I'll send you a link real quick. But in the meantime, what I will do is I will talk about what I've been. Have you been watching that new show on HBO? You don't get HBO, do you?
I don't. But you know what though? They do show it here. I just don't know when. It's like random times and stuff.
You know what?
Like
show I'm talking about? Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, it's so good.
I heard that.
It's very, very good. So I've been digging that. I get a catch up on one episode. Let me try to think. I haven't really watched much TV lately, John. Although I did watch Eastbound and Down episode 1 and 2 last night. That's really good with Mr. McBride.
Gotcha.
So
I don't know what you're talking about.
You've never heard of Eastbound and Down? It has Danny McBride, the guy from he's like got the mullet. He was in Tropic Thunder. He's the guy that blew all this stuff up.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's a baseball. Yeah. He's like a washed up baseball player.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. This isn't going to be good. And I actually bought a video game, NBA 2K11 with Michael Jordan on the cover, which is outstanding. Played a total of about 20 minutes of it, but from what I played, I think it's outstanding.
Cool.
It's weird doing off topic because you're so far away. I'm afraid that you're not going to understand my cultural references anymore.
It's possible.
But for real, dude, I got tickets for Back to the Future. It's coming into theaters in 2 weeks.
I don't even know if I got your references 2 weeks from when today. I was there.
Yeah, I know. 2 weeks from today, though, I'm seeing Back to the Future on the big screen.
That's pretty cool. I was excited when the Star Wars was re-released like 10 years ago.
Oh, you heard they're re-releasing them in 3D.
Yeah, which I am scary. Yeah, that's.
And they're going to be 2 years apart. So by the time they actually get to the good, like the first one's going to be done by 2012. By the time they get to the good ones, it's going to be, what, 2018? Like,
yeah, I guess so, right?
Who's going to give a crap about Star Wars?
Well, everyone gives a crap about Star Wars. That's ridiculous.
But, you know,
that was a ridiculous statement.
8 years from now, do you think people are really going to, like, be going back out and to see Star Wars and droids?
The original
again?
Thing was 30 years ago and still people still care.
I'll watch it. Like, I watched Return of the Jedi a couple weeks ago on Spike, and I thought that was
your idiotic Back to the Future is like 25 years old.
Yeah, but it's not re-released in theaters every 5 weeks.
Well, that's certainly the case.
Oh, S my F. How would you like to have Cassandra Forsythe on the podcast?
Oh, she's on? Cool. Get her on.
Do you think we can add her? She's not going to be ready for 20 minutes, though.
Okay, so we'll get her at the main pod, and now that she'll be on the main podcast, you know, and well, now that this is in the future from the beginning of the show, then I've already made my announcement with Cass, so this will be exciting.
Oh, about that thing.
About that thing. Yep.
She told me about that.
She did, or I did.
She did. I saw her at Eric's wedding.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that's right.
Did you get that link I sent you?
Yeah, I did. That's pretty bitching.
Just randomly.
Yeah, that was pretty random of you. But I like it. I like it a lot.
It's pretty good. You know, it's a pretty good CD there. So, let me think. I really haven't done much of anything, John, except work.
Yeah, I know.
One thing I did do is I also played some NBA Jam on the Wii. I rented that.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah, but I want to play NBA 2K11. I'm going to try to play a little bit of that once we wrap up today, since all the signups have kind of quieted down a little bit.
Yeah. I still need to bring my PS3 over here next time I come.
Yeah, what the hell is your problem?
Well,
and get an Xbox so we can play online.
I'm not getting an Xbox, and I'm not playing with you online.
Are you serious? They're
$200.
Yeah, all right,
maybe I will.
They're $200.
Are they really?
$200 toilet paper.
Are they really? They're $200 now?
Yeah.
Ah, it's cheap. Okay.
All right, Cass is going to be on in 5 minutes. Maybe we can stretch this out for 5 more minutes.
That's what she said.
That's actually one thing. I haven't watched The Office at all because I heard it's really bad this year.
Was it? Office is funny, but I haven't. I mean, see, everything that's what's funny about here. It's like the shows are random, and then they'll be like last season's shows.
Are they in English?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the actual shows, but sometimes like there's subtitling on the bottom. Like there are a bunch of movie channels here, which is actually pretty cool, but they're all subtitled on the bottom. So you're just like you know, I have to try to ignore that, and it's you're focused on the words on the screen, and it ruins everything. But yeah, they have like a bunch of movie channels, and they're like, but they're random, like they're weird channels. They're like, oh, here's an uncut movie, and now I'm going to show you like a TV show from NBC, and it's like there's like no rhyme or reason. Yeah, it's like no rhyme or reason. It's all over the place. What? Actually, the airplanes are awesome. When's the last time you flew?
When I went to Chicago for Perform Better.
Okay, so that was recent. So they had like the touchscreen stuff now and all that?
No, I flew shitty airline.
Oh, that sucks. No, I mean like when we fly, you know, obviously we're flying private, so that's one thing. But even when I like fly home or back and forth or whatever, like a commercial, like on my own vacations or something, all the planes now are like touchscreen, and they just download every movie they've like ever shown on the airlines. So you've got like 200-300 movies to choose from. It's awesome. You don't have to put up with that crap where it's like, you know, you get on the plane and there's only like 5 movies and you don't like any of them and stuff like that. Like, it's very cool.
You can also get like a laptop.
Yeah, you can, but
you know what you think? I think you should get is a friggin' sling box, dude. You need that so bad.
Yeah, I know. I've looked into it, but honestly, like I don't really care. Like,
you don't want to be able to watch like Yankees games and your local television stations and stuff.
They do. They broadcast them.
All of them.
Yeah, because I get ESPN and Fox Sports.
All right.
So, I mean, the only thing I don't get is like the YES Network. But dude, you know, it's like most of these games are being broadcast like in the middle of the night. You know, so it's like a lot of times I just don't stay up for them anyway. Like last night, I stayed up for the game. I passed out in the middle of it, like woke up like twice. Like, I mean, it was a nightmare. I was trying so hard to stay up. I basically caught like the you know, like the middle innings, like a little bit. Then I was asleep and I woke up. I'm like, oh crap. Then I'm like drifting in and out. And then I saw like the last three outs. I mean, it was just like, it was pathetic.
Interesting. Sorry. I had to swallow something. God, that sounded bad. Fuck.
Wow. Swear words aplenty from Larrabee. Dude.
I'll probably edit that out.
Nah, you won't. You're lazy.
Hopefully we'll get this up tonight. That's what she said.
Dude, focus. This off topic is going straight spiraling to hell.
Well, it's easy. Focus, we're just trying to grind out until Cass.
I know, and that's
up.
Horrible. We can't do that. Cass has just got to be on the main show, and that's it, because this is like watching paint dry, dude.
One other thing. There's got to be something else.
There's nothing else.
Have you been watching Fringe?
No, I never watched Fringe.
It's the best
like
show.
It.
Oh, you're such an idiot.
Although I started watching House, which I never watched either, and I kind of like it. See, you know what's funny, though? Like, because of the randomness of the shows that they watch, like, I will pretty much watch anything that's on. Like, I saw the very first episode of Glee. I don't even know why I was watching that
was
crap.
Was it good?
It was kind of funny. Like, it's definitely like a chick flick kind of show. But, I mean, they're so talented. Like, they are legitimately talented people. So that's kind of fun to, like, you know, listen to them sing and stuff, because it's like it's very entertaining. But it's like, I mean, it's definitely like a chick flick show. Like I should be getting brownie points for watching that, and I'm not. You know what I mean?
They had Jane Lynch. She hosted Saturday Night Live last night, and she was fantastic. It was probably the best episode of Saturday Night Live in a while.
Who hosted it?
Jane Lynch, who plays like she plays like the coach or like the gym.
Yeah. She's funny,
dude. She is hilarious, and she she crushed it last night.
Did she really?
And she honestly, like, it was probably one of the better episodes that they've had in the last couple of years. Oh, Cass is already on. Here we go.
There you go.
Some reason she's not showing up in my thingy thing. John, you're 3 years old.
Pretty much.
Hey, Cass.
Hello.
Cass Forsyth.
Hello, Fass.
What the dealio?
Just hanging out with the kiddo.
Oh, yeah? Hi, hanging April.
Hey, April. She ate pear and apple and crackers today and eggs.
Oh, my God. That's a better diet than I had today.
I don't know. Hey, she's pretty good. So are you guys done with the off topic?
We're actually going to wrap it up right here.
Yeah, he was stretching this whole thing out, and it was like, I mean, seriously, it was like watching a faucet drip. Like, there was nothing going on. I'm like, dude, just
I'm
end
so
it. He's like,
tired.
We have to wait. We have to wait for guests. And now that you're on, he's going to end it. That's that's brilliance of his
of,
you know,
Kevin's brain.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's all good. It's that testosterone, Kevin. Makes you smarter.
I know. I try.